Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle, your host today of Women Who Lead, and with me, I am very pleased and proud to say that we do not have a leading lady today. We have a leading man today for our show, and our show topic today is gender issues in negotiation, and I'm delighted to introduce all of our listeners to Frank Jeffries, who's the Associate Professor of Management at the University of Alaska in Anchorage, and I've talked with Frank. He's on the phone. And Frank, say hello to all of our listeners from Alaska.
Well, hello to all your listeners. I'm definitely calling in from Alaska.
We had the fun
of chilly up here.
For total disclosure, I'm here talking to all of you from Southern California, and Frank is here, and he's in Alaska. And we kind of shared what the temperature was. Share with our listeners what the temperature is in Alaska today, Frank.
Well, it's 24 degrees, and there's a little bit of wind, so with the wind chill, you're looking at about 30.
I'm
a little jealous of you
Southern
folks
California.
Right now.
See, exactly, but we have national listeners, so we have listeners who are listening from the Midwest and whatnot, but I'm really excited about our topic today because, to me, this is something, well, one, near and dear to my heart, because I would have wished when I was in corporate America that I would have had at least better training and advice and mentors on how to negotiate in business. You know, when we hear so many times that women struggle with salary negotiation, or they struggle with, you know, being paid what they're worth, or, you know, speaking up and, you know, kind of getting maybe, you know, the plum projects within a corporation or within their department or unit. And you've done some research, Frank, and I really would love for you to kind of share some of those main points that you've researched and found relating to gender issues with negotiation.
Okay. A little background on me. I spent 15 years in private industry as a product marketing manager and a sales manager. And then I took some time out and got my PhD, and I've been teaching and researching the area of negotiation for over 20 years now. And my interest in it was driven by, you know, understanding how to make things work better and more effectively in the business world. But it turns out that negotiation is a basic life skill, and that's one of the reasons why I have a passion for it. But as I got into this, I kept running into the pay differentials and, you know, the perceived difference in ability between men and women to negotiate, you know, outcomes. Because in the literature, when you look at what's going on, and in real life too, there seems to be a trend or a persistent finding that women don't do as well as men in negotiation. And being an academic now, I'm curious about that. So
right.
I started looking into it. And what I found was it's not a lack of negotiation skill most of the time. It's more, you know, assuming that the people have been trained, there are other issues that are coming to bear. For instance, in one series of research projects, they were looking at MBAs that were graduating and the starting salaries that they earned. And it turns out that the male MBAs were making 7% more overall than the women were. And when they dug into the data, what they found was there were men inside the sample that earned 7% more than the rest of the men. And there were women in the women's sample that earned 7% more than the rest of the women. And what they found was the difference was accounted for by who negotiated their salary and who didn't. 53% of the men negotiated salary, 7% of the women did. So 93% accepted the first offer, and that accounted for essentially all the difference. So then the question then becomes, why does this happen? You know, so there's what I find is I can't say that you can explain all of the differential in pay, and we can get into some of the reasons why as we go on in the conversation. But a substantial amount of the difference in compensation comes down to negotiating salary when you're offered a job. And you know, I've trained people for 20 years, and I've found that the women who've been taking my class, I get these wonderful emails back saying, "Wow, I negotiated for my salary and they gave it to me," or "I was working in this job for the last 10 years and they haven't given me a raise, and so I followed your advice and I figured out the market value for my position and I went in and I told them things I accomplished and I negotiated for more salary and they gave me a 20% raise, you know, and it's great. I love it when it happens.
Well, and back up a minute, because I know you were talking about you did research. So can you kind of share with our listeners what was, you know, I know you're Curious George or Curious Frank, as the case may be, but what, you know, what was the process that you went through to kind of research and come up with the 93% that don't, you know, do any negotiation and they just take the first offer that's given to them? I mean, that's shocking to me, 93%, but I had a great mentor when I was in, you know, commercial banking. That's shocking to me, and especially that there's not more, you know, for women. So what was it, what was your process like for the research? How did you go about it?
Well, what I've been doing is I've been doing secondary research. Primary research are the people who all go out there and collect the data. And what I've been doing is secondary research, which is essentially a very large literature review. So I've been surveying all of the research that I can find that deals with gender differences in negotiation. And what I've found is that there's literature in the psychology journals, and there's literature in the business journals. And the people who are doing the research on the people on the MBAs getting the differential in salary, we're actually looking at Ivy League MBAs, and they're a group of people. One of them was from Kellogg, and I can't remember where the other ones were from. But I have reviewed literally hundreds of research articles on this particular arena, and so that's where my information comes from.
Wow. And what, you know, from the research when you did this, what are maybe a couple of elements that really surprised you the most as it relates to women and negotiation? Any aha moments, or were there tons of them? I mean, I'm kind of curious because you're a guy, dude. So it's like, what were some of the surprise moments for you that you went, wow, I had no idea from the research?
Well, as you said that, the first thing that came into my mind is how ignorant I have been.
Now we're talking. Getting to a women's head.
I am that guy. You know,
it never
occurred to me how challenging it is for women to negotiate in a man's world, because I've never been a woman. I mean, I'm 6'3". I weigh 200 pounds. I've got a deep voice, and I'm white. So it never occurred to me that could be so much of an advantage. But the reality is, There is a male advantage, and there's a white male advantage to extreme. I mean, no one knows anything about me, but when I walk into a room, just because of physical size, I have presence, and I have an advantage right there. And
right.
It was only when I started doing this research that it started to occur to me that not everybody has that experience. Now, the other thing is how powerful stereotyping is. Because I used to think that stereotyping the stereotype of women only exists in men's heads. I don't know how I could be so blind to it. But the stereotype of women and the stereotype of men exists in everybody's head who is socialized with these stereotypes. So women knows that they're expected to be soft and kind and gentle and, you know, accommodating and all that. And guys are supposed to be decisive and assertive and aggressive and risk takers and all that. And in negotiation, when you ask people what's a successful negotiator, what you end up with is a male stereotype. And when you ask for, you know, what's an unsuccessful negotiator, unfortunately, well, you know, they're soft and squishy and kind and gentle, and it turns out to be a kind of a female stereotype, not directly exactly, but they tend that way. So because of the stereotypes, women are not expected to be good negotiators. And it creates a self-fulfilling prophecy, because when men don't expect them to be good negotiators, and then women don't expect themselves to be good negotiators, it doesn't really matter how good or not good you are. If you don't expect to do well, you won't.
Well, and here's a question on the negotiation. So I've tried some of these, you know, what I've learned about negotiation, where, you know, people say, look, you know, look for the win-win and, you know, that kind of thing and be who you are. But, you know, so many women will try to exhibit those male tendencies. And then when they're strong and they're trying to be, you know, finite, or they're trying to, you know, kind of play, I call it play with power, then there's backlash for women. You know, I mean, I can say this, you can't say this, but women feel like they become bitches, you know, and they're just like, oh my God, you know, I want to be effective. But what are the things that women can do to be better negotiators? Because I know women struggle with this, and nobody wants to be a negotiator, but we're all, and I'm, again, we're looking at women, we all negotiate every single day. You know, we're all vying for our, for persuasion or influence. So kind of give us some nuggets. I know our listeners are going, oh my God, how do I do this? What can they do so they don't get tagged a bitch? Because that's what no woman wants, right?
Yeah. The first piece of advice I have for you is don't try to be a guy. It doesn't work. You know, we can get away with doing that stuff, but what really works in negotiation is having the idea that you can negotiate and both sides can win. And that really plays to a woman's strengths. Now, having said that, there are things that you can do that will really advance your ability to be effective. And the first thing is to really do a good job of planning for the negotiation. Knowledge is power. And if you, like in a salary negotiation, in order to really get the most out of your position, you really have to understand what the market value for your talent is. And I can't tell you how many people I've coached and counseled where I ask them, no, what's the market value for their talent? And they have no idea. And they also have no idea how to find out. And if you don't know the value for your talent, you can't effectively negotiate for it. So, you know, go learn how to use the library, learn how to use your network, learn how to determine what the value of your talent is. And then also understand what you want. You know, salary isn't the only thing. You have a bunch of other things to negotiate for, but ask for what you want. One of the things that I think can really help is how learn to frame the negotiation in a different kind of way. If I ask a class, I teach 120 students a semester in negotiation. When I ask them, how many of you got up this morning and you're just fired up about negotiating? And maybe two people raise their hand. And the rest of them would rather get poked in the eye with an ice pick, you know. I hate negotiation. It's
scary. You actually have two people raise their hand. I'm like, I'm shocked by that.
Yeah, well, that might be a high percentage. But, no,
okay.
I love
okay.
negotiation. It's a game and it's fun for me. But how you frame the negotiation has everything to do with your attitude about it. There's some really interesting research where when women were put in situations where they negotiated and they looked at it as a negotiation, it was intimidating. But when they recharacterized the negotiation as an opportunity to ask for what they want, women are really good at asking for what they want, and it's not a scary situation. If you can frame your brain, if you can frame it in your brain that you're not negotiating, what you're doing is you're asking for something that you want and you deserve, that will help you get in a mental state where you can be more positive and more resilient. Another thing happens is...
I'm going to back up a second on that one, because, you know, it's interesting, and I would love to kind of dish on this a little bit, is I hear from women all the time that will say, you know, I'm working hard, I'm doing a good job, and they expect, you know, the senior positions or their managers to notice them and say, well, you're doing such a good job, here's your increase. And so I don't see that women do ask. And I think that's part of the challenge. Right. So you were saying they did, and I was like, that's shocking to me, because I see so many women that do not ask. Was that part of your findings as well, that they just they're not even asking for the raises or asking for the things to advance.
There's actually an article, a research article, it's titled Women Don't Ask. And it's one that I require my graduate classes to read. And it does say that. Women, and that's part of the reason why they start off with lower salaries when they enter the job market, because women are taught that you keep a low profile and, you know, you want to get it right. And they don't want to take a risk of damaging the relationship, so they want to prove themselves first. So they accept the opening offer and they work hard. They actually, you know, in other research, women worked harder, worked longer, did more accurate work than men, but still weren't willing to ask for the increase in compensation. It's important to ask for what you want. And if you have the track record and you've done the work and you can demonstrate that, showing how you contributed to the bottom line, build your case and ask. I mean, the worst thing that's going to happen is they're going to say no. And most of the time, I haven't heard of a single instance, you know, out of my students who've asked for raises, I haven't had one yet come back and say, I got fired because I asked for a raise. The vast majority of them actually got an increase in compensation, and many of them got more than they thought they were going to get.
And I love that because, you know, it's so funny. I did some research. I interviewed men for a few years and packaged it all up into a book. But what was fascinating to me was a few of the men that I interviewed over the years, they shared that what was sad for some women is that, you know, instead of asking, they get extremely, I mean, they kind of like let everything build up. They haven't been recognized for the hard work. It's like they've been putting in extra time, and it's been, to them, it's gone unnoticed. And all of a sudden they go in, they're not asking for a raise and justifying their position. They're almost like demanding it, and they're angry about it. And that's been a tough one, you know, because, you know, women don't realize, I think, in many cases that they're doing that. Was any of your research kind of based on kind of the emotion piece that went with it? And I know we're on slippery ground here right now with the emotion part of it, but it's tough, you know, is they get all worked up about it and then go in and say, you know, I've been working so hard and, you know, I'm deserving of a raise. And I had so many men say to me, if they just would have come in and asked, and their response would have been justify to me how an increase in pay will work and done it calmly, many women probably would get more raises. So I'm curious what your findings might suggest on that with the emotion piece that gets involved in there.
Mm-hmm. I haven't run into anything that specifically dealt with the emotions that women, you know, exhibit when they feel like they've, you know, got the short end of the stick. I will say that there's a considerable amount of research that shows that when the emotions get more aggressive and you start going toward the negative emotions, what will happen to the scenario is it will become a win-lose negotiation. And anytime you're in an employment relationship, it's not a win-lose kind of deal. It's got to be a mutual gains bargaining profile or you're just not going to get anywhere, because both the business owner or the manager and the employee have a common goal, and that's to maintain the profitability of the company. You want to work there and earn a really good salary. They want you to work there and do a really good job and contribute to the bottom line of the company or to the efficient operation of the company. So you're both trying to accomplish the same thing. The challenge is to document your performance and have a plan and go in there and talk to them about what you've accomplished and the value you contribute and the reason, you know, just like you're saying, the reasons why you got to do it. I will say that this is not something that only happens to women. I've been personally in the same place, and it happens to men too. It's more prevalent with women because women are socialized not to be as assertive. And there's a fine line that they have to walk. But if you work hard and you get the production, there's no reason why. I mean, if you go for more than a year without getting an increase in your compensation, if you're really carrying the mail and doing a good job, then I think you should put your argument together and have a meeting with your boss in some neutral place and, you know, just say, hey, you know, these are the things I've accomplished and this is what I'm putting on the bottom line. I'm really excited about moving ahead in the organization and, you know, let's see if we can't work out something that's going to happen for both of us. Because if you're a team player and they want to keep you on the team, they'll work with you.
Right. And, you know, and I know a lot of our listeners are women owners as well. And, you know, in a business scenario, when you own a business and, you know, you're dealing with, let's say, procurement officers or, you know, corporate buyers, or you're in a situation where you're trying to persuade, right, somebody to buy mm-hmm. your products or services, did your research show any gender issues that way with, you know, that, and again, it's negotiation, right? You know, you have a price
yep.
you're looking to get, and how can women be really, it's not a question of asking, it's also how can you persuade and influence? What was some of your research, you know, in that, maybe to apply better to women owners? You know, we know they don't
well,
ask, but what else was part of your research on that?
Now,
maybe you got tons more.
There's a dichotomy here. When women
uh-huh.
when women are advocating for somebody else, that's one thing. When women are advancing their own interests, that's quite another. When women are negotiating for themselves, self-representation, that's where the business kicks in, where they're not as assertive and aggressive, because the stereotype doesn't really allow that, but also because of the way they're socialized. But when you put a woman into a role as a negotiator where she's advocating for somebody else, then the behavior completely changes. There are none of those barriers. In one, it was amazing. In one study on salary negotiation, they took a look at what women negotiated for themselves and what they negotiated for the same position for somebody that they represented. So if they were an agent, they negotiated
mm-hmm.
18% higher salaries for people that they represented than they negotiated for themselves. With men, there was no difference between the salary they negotiated for themselves and the salary they negotiated for somebody else as an agent. So the effect of representing oneself as opposed to representing somebody else as an agent is very large and substantial. And my recommendation for the ladies in my class, the women in my class, is to negotiate for yourself like you were negotiating for a third party and attack it the same way. I mean, you're competent, you're skilled, you're rational, you're calm. You have all these tools to build value, you know, make close relationships, be considerate of other people. Women have all the perfect tool set to be really excellent negotiators in any situation. What I'd like to see them do is use those tools to advocate for themselves as well. Back to the question about representing a company, I would hire women to do my negotiations as a company owner in a heartbeat, because when you're looking at long-term relationships, buyer-seller relationships, you're looking at the efficiency of the entire supply chain that you exist within. And the more efficient the negotiations are between one company and another in the supply chain, the more profit there's going to be through the entire supply chain, because you'll find places to make those mutually beneficial trade-offs, and those are a product of having trust and good relationships and information sharing where you can find those mutually beneficial trade-offs where both companies win. Women are really good at that because they build the relationships and they're able to answer the questions and ask the questions that are necessary to make that happen. They're not... They get good deals, but it's not competitive in a get the other guy so I can win type of function. And the skill that women exhibit in negotiation is just as high as the skill as men. There's not any gender difference there.
I find this fascinating. I know, just, you know, being an advocate, great word, by the way, for our listeners who, you know, many of them are women, Frank, where, you know, if one of our listeners says, gosh, I want more information on what you have, or, I mean, I don't know, as an instructor, do you have like some resources for some of our listeners if they're wanting to kind of be better negotiators? Where would you lead them? And also, how do you want to be contacted if they want to reach out and, you know, find out more information from you?
You can. I'm working at the University of Alaska Anchorage and in the College of Business and Public Policy. And if you Google that, you'll find my smiling face out there in a profile. I also have a small consulting business, and I can be a hired gun once in a while, management insight consulting. But I don't have. It's a very low profile thing. If the phone rings, I answer it and I go help people out. So you got those two avenues. A book I would recommend to anybody who wants to be more skilled at negotiation is Fisher and Urey's Getting to Yes. I mean, it's an oldie but a goodie. It's an easy read, but it talks about principled negotiation. And to get good deals, you need to follow a policy and a protocol that says we're in this together. We're going to find the goal that we're both trying to achieve, and then we're going to make a deal that advances that interest. With employers and employees, the goal is the profitable operation of the business or the efficient operation of the government agency or whatever it is, but you both have the same goal. And if you're in a career where that you have a passion for and you really believe is adding to the quality of life, then you have a goal that's compatible with the employer you're working with. And once you have that established, then it's a matter of making sure that both sides agree to what fair compensation is, and that's determined by the market. But you need to have the basic skills to ask for what you want.
And I'm loving all this, and I'm curious for you. It's like, where are you hoping your research goes? I mean, are you going to do more on gender issues? It's like, is this kind of one and done for you as a wonderful instructor and faculty professor and all of that? I mean, what's the was it just kind of like a one-off kind of thing, or are you going to continue to do more research on gender issues?
Well, I've gotten my I was kind of winding down here, you know, because I'm getting toward the end of my academic career, but this thing's got my interest. And, you know, I haven't had a really good windmill to joust at for a long time, so I'm kind of like Don Quixote. I find an issue and then I want to go after it. So where this is going now is I'm developing an advanced negotiation class, and what that class is going to consist of is this gender issue deal, so that both sides understand, both genders, men and women, understand what it is, how it affects us, because to me, we're losing a lot of value because we're not getting women into positions where, and we're not treating them equally. We're not giving them equal opportunity. So we're underutilizing 50% of the intellectual capacity of this country by not overcoming this problem. So there's going to be difficult negotiations, mediation and arbitration, and gender issues and negotiation will be three topical areas in this class. And I'll probably write. I've had people ask me to write a book about it, so it's something that I'm really interested in. I think it's a real current topical problem, so we'll have to see where it goes.
It's always fun to look at the future, but, you know, I do see a book inside you, I will tell you that, so that sounds like you've got something amazing in you that needs to come out. But, I mean, I think, you know, resonating, and, it, you know, and again, for our association and the women I come across, it's always – you know, they're opting out, you know, women are, but there's, you know, there's family and kid dynamics that go with it. And, you know, I love the research you're doing, and I hope our listeners, if you have questions on negotiation, again, I've read the book Getting to Yes. I love it. But hopefully you'll have a book come out, and I wanted to say thank you for being our leading man today for our Women Lead Radio Show. You've been awesome. Thank you.
Well, it's a real honor for me to be allowed to, you know, present my views in this arena. When I started doing this, I did it with fear. I was really excited to begin with, and then I started thinking, gosh, I'm a guy talking to women about women's issues. What credibility could I possibly have? And then a woman who was talking to me said, we've been saying this for years. Maybe they'll listen to you. So I renewed enthusiasm now.
That's cool. You know what? And I do think, I mean, when you come from integrity like you do, you know, I think there's a lot that we can learn. I mean, it was fascinating for me interviewing men for 3 years and asking them. And I do think for us as women, you know, I don't know that the answer is there yet of what women can do, because we definitely don't want to be like men. We don't want to act like men, but we definitely want to advance and get ahead. So thank you for your time today, Frank. And to all of our listeners, we always love that you listen to us. We're here every Monday morning at 9 a.m. and we're here on Fridays at 2 p.m. And we know next week is Thanksgiving. So hopefully all of you will spend time with friends and family, and happy Thanksgiving. And one thing I always say to women out there, the one thing we can all do for each other is just truly support one another and be advocates on behalf of each other. So have a happy Thanksgiving.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.